As many of you know, Love Western has been running since about 2007. It was led into by what was called Western Super Prayer, not because we're super at praying, but just because the word super means over, and we prayed over our town. And over the months, we held 21 meetings to say thank you to those who serve us in our town, the police, our MP, the lifeboats, the schools, 40 Commando from just down the road with whom Western are twinned. So 21 such gatherings took place, and we felt, what do we do at the end of the 21? And the Lord said that we were not to do it again, but instead from going up on the beacon and having there, that the message was to come down into the bonfires. Oh, thank you. that in lighting the beacon, which we're doing again on July the 11th, that would be symbolic of the Holy Spirit coming upon our town, and that we're to light bonfires of prayer, every street to be prayed for, which we're going to be helped to do by Rebecca when she speaks to us in a moment. Thank you. Western has 1,510 streets, and to date, those of you who've signed up on those leaflets that you have copies, we have about 151 streets covered by people who in different ways pray for their neighbours, occasionally prayer walk, whatever. There's no set pattern. So about 10% so far. We want it to be 100%. Earlier today, church leaders met and Rebecca spoke to them. We also had a meeting to consider a CAP centre in our town to help people, whether in debt or all sorts of needs. And the sense was that today was a pivotal moment. The leaders of our churches who were here felt that God was speaking to us, and today was a turning point. That's easy to say, but that was the sense. When some of us attended the leadership conference at the Royal Albert Hall a week or so ago, there was a word prophecy, and it went like this. There was a ship in a canal, and the ship was in a lock, and the waters had filled and the ship had risen, and it was just to the point that the lock gates were able to open and the ship could emerge, and ahead stretched an open waterway. There was a great sense of unity there, and Christians from many different traditions embraced each other and said, let's leave behind the differences that were in that previous lock and let's go forward as God is opening the way. And please God that tonight, as Rebecca is God's instrument, as his daughter, to speak to us of what's going on around our nation as well as what is happening in our town, that please God, the ship of the united church, the one people of Christ in our town, will be able to emerge into a new day, a new lock, and go ahead. So, that said, I'd like to welcome Rebecca and pray for her. And thank you, Rebecca. This young lady has come all the way from Manchester via Wales. And she's dropped off a two-year toddler with grandparents in Wales and came across this morning, and she's got another two-hour drive after she leaves us tonight. So we do thank you so much for coming. As you know, it's taken a lot of arranging to bring you here. But let's pray for Rebecca. Lord, we pray now that you'll just anoint your daughter and give her liberty in the spirit to share what you want to do amongst us and through us in this town to build your kingdom, so that people do sense the Lord is in this place and we didn't realize it. So Lord, we just pray you'll bless her and set her free now to share what you've put in her heart to give us. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, you've got one. Right.
Hello everyone, I'd just like to say thank you. tonight. And a special thanks to John and his wife and the team at Love Weston for everything that they've been doing to mobilise prayer for streets in Weston-super-Mare. I actually was last in Weston-super-Mare in 1999 when I was a medical student from Bristol University. And I was have some very, very fond memories of being a medical student in your local hospital. And it's been quite nice to me, actually, going back. John's been taking me around the town and I've seen that you've got a new peer. There's a real sense of excitement in me, anyway, about how this place has changed physically for the better. So I just wanted to share that with you and say how nice it's been to be here. So I want to share about Neighbour Prayer Network. Neighbour Prayer Network, you'll see a map up there, and every single one of those yellow dots represents a Christian in the UK who's decided to pray for their street. But we're not just asking people to pray for their street, we're asking people to pray for their neighbours, care for their neighbours, and share Jesus with their neighbours. I just want to explain briefly how this vision started. It actually started when I was 9 years old. I was very close to my grandma, Edna Clapham, and she used to say things to me like, I miss World War II. And I remember thinking as a child of the 80s, that's a really odd thing to say. What does she mean? And she said, no, you don't understand. I don't miss the war, but I do miss the community that there was in World War II. You know, if you were in trouble, you could knock on your neighbour's door. And actually, my grandma had a friendship of 50 years that had formed with a neighbour on her street. Nearly all my grandma's friends were from the street that she'd raised her children on. And she felt in the 1980s that was already disappearing. And I remember when I was 9, looking out my window in a working class street in Manchester on a rainy day around, late afternoon, and thinking if it wasn't for a few lights on in the houses and the fact that you could see some cars parked outside, you could be forgiven for thinking you lived in a ghost town. You know, such was the lack of interaction between living in the streets. Now, more wind forward to the future and then to more recent past, and I was a GP for 8 years. I left medicine in 2013 to pursue this vision fully. And I will tell you that community has broken down completely. You know, I've locumed in all around Manchester, the Midlands, lots of the North, you know, and then the stories that are coming in from all over the place of actually the general experience of a lot of people is that there is a great deal of loneliness. There are 700,000 people in this country whose main company every month is the television, because we have extended families now that don't live in the same area. They've moved away, sometimes to other parts of the country, and in some cases to other parts of the world. And isn't it amazing, in the age of communication, where we can text people, FaceTime, Skype, go on Facebook, that a lot of people say that we've never felt more lonely. You know, and one of the things that is coming up time and time again when people do survey after survey is that most of us don't know our neighbours. In fact, in the 25 to 34 year old group, 47% of those have never done anything for a neighbour, and that's quite a worrying statistic if that's going to continue. So I wanted to just share some of the background. You know, I actually I had this when I was looking outside my window at age 9, thinking about this. I had a moment, which I didn't understand as a 9-year-old, but I felt that God was saying to me that he was going to use me in some way to help change some of this loneliness. And that stuck with me even through my 5 years being an atheist and my many years on my journey back to God before I finally became a Christian in 2004 on Alpha. And almost as soon as I made a commitment to God again at that age, I felt God was reminding me of this time at age 9 and saying, actually, I want you to get every street in the UK covered in Christian prayer. And at first, as a brand new Christian, you're really excited about this. And then it was just actually, this is ridiculously hard. How on earth do I think that I can possibly do this? So I met up with a gentleman called Carl Brettel, who, remember that his surname, you'll note his surname is the same as mine now, and tried to hand the vision on to him, and he said no, but he did decide to marry me 9 months later. And then he kept bombarding me, saying, what are you doing about this vision? I never agreed to take it on. You've got to go forward, you've got to push it. And he pushed me and pushed me. And then in 2012 at the National Day of Prayer and Worship at Wembley. Was anyone there?
Yes!
Yeah. I was actually on stage, and what you don't know if you were there was that I was crying before I went on stage, and I didn't want to go on stage, and I had to have people praying for me because I was shaking. And I don't know what I said on that day, but I said something that, well, God spoke through me, because it is God's vision. This is not my vision, this is definitely God's vision. And before I knew it, over 500 people within 4 weeks had signed up to pray for their streets. And then today, working in cooperation with people like Love Western, Pray for Scotland, many other agencies around the country, we've got 3,300 streets so far covered. And that doesn't include some of the streets that we've been told about today, so it's probably a bit higher. So that's kind of the vision in a nutshell. And what I want to do is I just want to share a scripture with you, and then which is one of the foundational scriptures for this vision. And I bet you know my Bible's not gone to the right side, as it is. So, and then I want to kind of I want you to think about the street that you live on as I'm speaking, and think about what you would like to see change on your street. So I'm just going to read to you from. It's actually Matthew 5. We're probably very familiar with this scripture. It's Matthew 5:13-16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. But instead they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men and women, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So this is one of the scriptures that we feel is really important. And you'll note that you see this big logo up there is a light, and that's supposed to be the Christian in their house, with the light spreading to the houses next to them. So what if everybody was salt and light in their streets, what might we expect to see? This is a list that I came up with for my street. I'd like to see reduced crime on my street, more community, less lonely people, maybe less depressed people, children safe, people returning to Jesus, reduced sickness maybe. These were just some of the things, that the dreams that I have for my particular street. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to share with you some stories of things that have happened since we launched, and just hopefully encourage you that if you do decide to take this up, and I hope everyone in this room does decide to pray for their neighbours, that these are some of the things that will be that you might start to see where you are. So talking about reduced crime, I just want to start with a story that was actually a little bit older. So I don't know if anyone's heard about the Bell Farm community in London, but a few years ago in the 1990s, there was a church where there was 13 people in that church, and they were in really serious difficulty because they were living on an estate where there was antisocial behaviour. If you walked down the street, people were threatening you. If you drove down the street, there were people jumping out at roundabouts onto the road, which was frightening for people. And you couldn't even worship in the church because the police were having to be called every single Sunday because bricks were going through the windows. And it got so bad in this community that people were frightened to meet in their churches, in this particular church. So a group of people decided that they'd had enough, and they had no choice now. They had no choice but to pray. So what they did between those 13 people, they took two of them took a day each, Monday to Saturday, and then one person did Sunday. They prayed for 40 days for this area, that things would change, that the antisocial behaviour would get better, that they could start to meet in the church. 40 days of prayer. And then on the very last day, they broke communion on a roundabout where, you know, all these kids were jumping out onto the road. And what happened in this area is nothing short of a miracle. The crime rate almost dropped overnight. There was a Christian police officer started to work in the area, which was an answer to prayer, who was more sympathetic to them when they started to attend the church. The ringleader of a lot of the trouble actually moved out of the area, and the some of the kids who used to cause some of the trouble, actually when we were breaking communion on the roundabout, came over and asked them what we were doing and asked them to pray for them when we explained. So actually what we decided to do is we decided that they would do another 40 days of praying blessing over the street. And what's actually happened today is it's a story of transformation where that church has now got 2,000 people and has got lots of ministries. And I don't know if anyone's heard of Livability, which is a charity that tries to help people with disabilities to be more, find the church more accessible. Well, that's actually a charity that started there. So, you know, that just shows you what can happen. That was 13 people making a decision that they were not going to tolerate what was going on in their particular community. More recently, a gentleman in Wandsworth woke up and went down the street, and every single car on his road had been put through the windows. And he was like, and he also noticed at the same time that it was a very high divorce rate on his street. He was very concerned about this. So he'd been praying for some time, started prayer walking the street, and there was no more, kind of vandalism acts. There's not, in the last 3-4 years that he's been praying, or 5 years he's been praying, there's not been any further divorces that he's aware of. Coincidence or answer to prayer? A lot of coincidences when people start praying. Another lady was living on a street in northern England, and she'd just moved into her house, and the previous owner neglected to tell her that it was a drug dealer living next door. So her excitement about moving into her house was soon taken over by fear. So she decided she was going to pray about this. She was desperate for this drug dealer to leave, and he did. And what was even better was that she was praying for a nice neighbour. And this neighbour who moved in was actually a lovely family who now help her. She has some health concerns, and she's gone from having a terrible neighbour to a really lovely neighbour. On the same street, there was she was praying that one of her neighbours would become a Christian. They're now in church. And on the same street, there was someone in a domestic violence situation where that situation was resolved, all on the same street. So I said to her, "What are you doing that we can learn from?" And she said, "Oh, I don't know, I just pray." But what she did say is that she's praying scripture. She'd choose scriptures out of the Bible and pray scripture over the street, so that God's word's being prayed as she's praying. And also, as much as possible, pray positive prayers. And that's actually something that's coming through for a lot of people, that if you're praying positively rather than negatively, there seems to be more answers to prayers. Less lonely people. One of my favourite stories, one of the things that we do every Friday is we send out a newsletter with some prayer suggestions, some outreach ideas, and straight after Wembley we ask people, would you please consider if there's anybody really lonely in your community who's going to be spending Christmas alone? Because Christmas, as much as it is a Christian celebration, can be one of the worst times of the whole year for some people. Very desperate. So this lady, her name's Jean Dobson, she doesn't mind sharing this story. I think she's a church leader as well. And she decided, oh, actually, there's a lady next door to me who doesn't seem to have any visitors any time of the year. And it turns out this lady doesn't have any family members. She's very elderly. So she decided, a bit hesitant to do it because you're inviting effectively a stranger into your home at Christmas, but she did it. And actually she wrote to me and she said, "This is the best thing I've ever done. It was the best Christmas that we've ever had." And wind the clock forward to a few months later, and this lady broke a hip. Now Jean, being enthusiastic about her neighbours, had joined the local neighbourhood watch group. And then she told them, "Our neighbour's in hospital who's broken her hip. She doesn't have any family." And this group, who were not Christian, were upset then. They were like, "We thought we knew everything going on the street. How has this lady fallen and ended up in hospital without us knowing about it?" So they started a rota on the street, and they were visiting this lady in hospital. So she went from having, if they'd not invited her around at Christmas, she wouldn't have had anybody visiting her. And then she goes from having nobody to the whole street on rota. Wind it forward, and she can no longer cope at home. And if you'd have asked this couple when we started this, how would you feel in a couple of years if you end up being someone's carer? They'd have said, absolutely not, that's not what we want to do. We'd do it if we felt we had to. But they became her next of kin, and they loved spending time with this lady. And we said, we're the ones who've been blessed, not this lady. You know, even though she feels we've helped her, and she's got her wish now to remain in her home, which she would never been able to do. So that was one of my favourite stories. Another gentleman said, actually, this might not seem like a big deal to a lot of people, but for me, I just prayed that people would start smiling at each other, because I live in an area where everyone goes like this, and if you say something like hello, they think you're weird, and no one talks to each other, and it's really unpleasant. So he just wanted to have some people smile at him and to make some conversation. Suddenly people start smiling at him, he's having conversations at the bus stop. No amazing breakthrough in terms of relationship, but to him this was such a big difference for him. He just felt his neighbourhood was a little bit safer, and he has had some really interesting conversations, and that had never happened for 10 years he'd lived there. So that was a really big answer to prayer for him. Another favourite of mine is that someone wrote in and said, actually I was really, really angry. I'm praying for my street and there's this party going on at 3 a.m. and all I wanted to do was to go round and knock on the door and have a go at them. But as I started to pray, I felt God saying, actually, can you just pray that these young people get home, that they don't do silly things, that they're safe? And her whole attitude changed, and she felt Jesus challenging her, and actually stopped a big conflict, because she was really ready to go around and have a go at everybody. So that was a good one. In another street, there's somebody who, in another area of the country, in Dudley, a church has started, through asking people to pray for streets. The church has now been invited into people's homes at Christmas to sing carols in non-Christian homes and read scripture. They've also had a drug dealer on a street corner that has moved on after the church decided to anoint the area with prayer. So we've also had people returning to faith. We've not had lots of these, and I just want to give a word of caution. It sounds when I'm sharing these stories that we're in revival, but these have been coming in over 2.5 years in different parts of the country. So yes, you know, we've not all come in at once or anything, so I don't want you to get the wrong impression, but what we've heard is that people in twos and threes, sometimes fours, have started attending church after many years of not attending church or never been to church. So in one place in Scotland, a man decided that he'd been praying for his streets and getting to know people, and his neighbours were asking him so many different difficult questions that he decided to start a Bible study on his street. Quite bold, I'm not sure I'd have the confidence to do that, but he did. And every fourth one, he lets them, I suppose, grill a Christian, and they can ask any question that they want. And his neighbours have been coming, but that's not just happened. It's happened because he's been praying for a long time. Prayer walking, praying specifically, really getting to know his neighbours. This has happened over a long period of time. I've been living on my street for 3 years now, and I've just got to the place where my neighbours trust me. This is not something that you just do and you expect results. It's something that takes time. Another person was praying on their street. They specifically, I know that you've got a food bank here, they specifically were desperate to have a food bank in their area. They were so desperate to have a food bank, and they were praying and praying and praying. And would you believe, and he can't believe this himself, that a food bank was set up opposite his house. Now, if that's not a direct answer to prayer, I don't know. And he'd also been praying that his neighbours would start to come to church, and three of his neighbours did. And they've been baptised recently. So he was like, well, again, is this a coincidence or is it an answer to prayer? We've also had somebody else who's, some people who've just said that we've had conversations we'd never expected to have. So one lady lives next door to an atheist who was like, we don't do God, so don't ever mention it. And what happened was that this person then had some really serious health issues. And they thought they might have cancer, and so they said, oh well, we're going to pray for you, I know you don't do God, but we're going to pray for you to be okay. So this person went in for their procedure, and the doctors were convinced he had cancer. There was no cancer, to the shock of the medical professionals. And then the wife of the man who this happened to said, I think maybe God had something to do with that. This is someone who said, we don't do God, you know. So so sometimes it's just about letting those, you know, praying, getting to know people and letting those conversations happen with you. And we've had a few other stories like that as well. We had a GP contact us who lives not too far from here, actually not here, but somewhere not too far from here. And he's obviously quite, I wouldn't say GPs are sceptical, but GPs are very careful about how they see things. And he started praying for his neighbour who'd been diagnosed with prostate cancer and said, you know, he was saying, okay, let's pray that this improves. And his neighbour said, he told his neighbour he was praying, and his neighbour said, oh, my doctors don't understand it, my PSA has gone down. And that GP said, yeah, actually, I think that was a direct response to prayer. Another person got very excited, and we suggested it in the Lent period in 2013 that people give out a father's love letter. So she gave out a father's love letter in a local corner shop, and someone was in there with a bad back and a stomach pain. So she was really bold, and she decided to give them a father's love letter and pray for them, and they found that their back pain was improved immediately, and the stomach problem a week later, she said, was better. So that's been good. I could tell you story after story, and I'll end with one more story, which is one of my favourites, which I told this morning to some of the ministers. There was a lady who she was from a quite traditional background, and she didn't really believed in prayer, but she didn't believe that. You know, she kind of believed in prayer, but this really shocked her because something like this had never, ever happened to her before. So in that time before you awake and you asleep, she had a picture, a dream, that her neighbour was on the floor, and she thought, oh, that wasn't very nice. She woke up and thought, oh, I was just going to put that to one side. And her neighbour, again, you know, we'd suggested that people get to know people who are a bit more lonely on their street. And one of her neighbours had just lost his wife, so she invited her and her husband had invited this neighbour around once a month. So anyway, as the day went on, she had this bad feeling, you know, it kept coming to her about her neighbour being on the floor, and she thought, okay, well, I'd better phone him then. So she phoned him up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and said, are you okay? And he said, oh, why are you asking? And he said, oh, no reason. He's still coming at 6 o'clock. So he basically said, yes, of course. 6 o'clock comes and he doesn't show up, and he's always on time. So she ran round to another neighbour who had a key. This gentleman had a family. He had a daughter who saw him quite regularly. But that daughter wouldn't have gone that night, and he was on the floor, and he'd had a stroke. And they managed to get him into hospital. And what was interesting was this man was also a Christian, but he didn't believe that God cared for him. He believed that God cared for everybody else, but not him. And so he was shocked when he heard this story of how they'd come to discover him. And she also had another picture of an angel with his wing going from her house to his house, which was shared with him just before he went in for an operation to stop him having some more strokes. And that totally transformed his life. So I love that story. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen like that on your street and stuff, you know. It will happen differently on your street. But these are the things that could happen, or something like it, if we're all praying. So I just wonder if everybody here, how many people do we think is here, roughly?
90.
Okay, you've just counted. So let's say all 90 of you, what we say when we say to do this vision is, we don't say pray for every single neighbour on your street. It's too overwhelming. Although I'm sure there are some people who do. What we say is, pick three people on your street. Ask God who those three people are. Or if you're not sure, neighbour at the left, neighbour at the right, neighbour over the way. And then pray a general blessing over your street when you're going out of things. And you know, what would it look like if everyone in this room did this, and that so that it was 180 of your neighbours being prayed for every Friday? We're not talking about you spending hours in prayer. We're talking about you spending just a little bit of time in prayer on a Friday. The reason we choose Friday is because it's going into the weekend. You're most likely to see your neighbour over the weekend. I know there are people who work shifts here, But, you know, generally speaking, we're more likely to see our neighbours around at the weekend. So what would it look like if there was 180 of your neighbours being prayed for? And what I would say is that it's likely that some of you would start to see answers to your prayer, but I have a friend who, quite quickly, but I have a friend who prayed for her street for 25 years without seeing one single answer to prayer. Now, what she was praying, which I didn't, actually, she's a friend of mine and a very close friend, actually. She was praying when I was a 5-year-old child visiting her street, and I only put this together recently. I was visiting her street to see my great grandfather when I was 5 years old. She was praying that every single person who visited the street, not just lived on the street, would become a Christian. Now, I wonder whether her prayers are partly responsible for me being here today. And they started to bump into people recently who have become Christians and missionaries and church leaders that they didn't even know about because no one told them until recently. So are you prepared to not just pray, but maybe not hear answers for a year, for 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, maybe not even this side of heaven, but pray anyway because you actually don't know what difference you could be making? And finally, this is another story that came in very recently. I have to admit this. I went to a conference, and you know, I've got a 20-month-old son who was at the time a lot younger. And I was thinking, oh, what am I doing here? Why am I at this when I could be at home with Reuben? Hardly anyone signed up to pray for a street, and I thought I'd done a bad job. And I was like, what on earth was I here for? And anyway, I got the answer a few weeks later, and I felt a little bit convicted then because this lady said to me, oh, I was at that conference, and I went home and I moved into my new street and I started praying immediately and it saved someone's life. And I was like, what do you mean? And she said, what happened was we were praying and praying and praying, and we got a knock on the door one day, and this man came to the door, our neighbour, and he was our next door neighbour who we'd been praying for, and he said, I don't know what to do, I know you're Christians. I've just got back from a hospital after trying to kill myself. I've lost my job. I'm in debt. I don't know what to do. Can you help me? He was just absolutely desperate, you know. So it takes a lot for someone to come to someone's door who they don't know. So he must have been pretty desperate, but he must have seen something in them. They made no secret of the fact that they were Christians, that they went to church, and that they were trying to be good Christians. And he, as a child, had been involved in church, so for some reason he felt he could go to them. So they prayed for him there and then, they prayed scripture over him, they took him to church, and she was embarrassed. She said that the minister, even though she'd not told him anything about what had gone on, it was like the minister had read the scriptures that she'd spoken over him, and he was totally blown away. And she said, I didn't tell the minister, I didn't breach your confidentiality, I didn't. And she was like, what's he going to think of me? Now, he did get a job, a temporary job to begin with, and he did get a proper permanent job, which unfortunately means, because there's not always a complete happy ending to this, unfortunately means that he can't go to church on a Sunday because it's a shift job. But it doesn't matter. He had an encounter with God, and he's still exploring that. And actually, sometimes it doesn't matter if it's not the perfect ending that we'd actually always like. They were good neighbours at that time. Now, be assured, if you don't feel that you can cope with something like that, God's not going to put something on your doorstep like that if he doesn't feel that you can cope. This particular individual was particularly able to deal with that. I'm not sure how I would have felt if someone had come to my door like that, even with my GP background. So yeah, but anyway, this can lead to simple, it can lead to friendship. It can lead to street, you know, like on our street, very excited to move into our new street. So we thought, yeah, we're going to invite all our neighbours round at Christmas time. Do you know how many people came to our Christmas party that we're so excited about? Not one single person. So we decided to take the food that we would have had to all the houses, and a year later we had our house full. So it doesn't matter if it doesn't go perfectly, or you don't get to see exactly what you're looking for. The important thing is that we try, and that we pray, and that we do our best to get to know people, and let's see where God can take us. So I'm just going to hand over to John, who's just going to share a little bit more about what's going on in Weston, and then, yeah.
Thank you, Rebecca. Yeah, I don't really want to take too much time about what's going on. We're just trying to be obedient to the vision that God has given to us to mobilise this prayer that the beacon on the top of the hill is to come down into the streets. If you people can kindly sign up so that we know who you are, then we can begin to see God linking people up. Where we live in Whirl, until we began to do this, I had no idea of 6 or 7 other Christian families from other churches who live close by. But now we're in touch with Christian families, and we're looking forward to having an evening of prayer with them. And you'll find the same, that there are Christians from other churches than yours who don't live too far from you. So the momentum of the Holy Spirit can take us who knows where if we emerge from those lock gates. But it won't happen unless you trust us with the information about where you live. we want you to feel this is not just for Western, but is part of this wider picture of what God is doing. Rebecca is going to every part of the UK. She's visiting every one of the 124 postcodes from Shetland to Scillies. And so that will take your time. But I just want to implore you to trust us to be part of this and to just wait and see what God does so that we can have testimonies springing up such as what Rebecca has shared from other parts of the country. And I hope you'll be encouraged to when we'll send you some examples of the newsletter that comes out that's full of these stories of how other people are doing things in other towns which we can learn from. So that will reach you if you kindly entrust us with that information. Rebecca, you'd like us at this point to just take some 5 minutes to pray for. Yeah. So 90 of us, let's try and pray for 2 or 3 neighbours in little groups or by yourself, but it'd be really good if you could just turn to people and without a lot of introductions and time, just take time to pray to saturate our town with arrow prayers coming down all over the Western. So let's do that and then we'll have some worship towards the end. Thank you. Lots of blessing is coming down because you pray in many, many households across the town. One day in heaven we'll see what tonight has achieved already. So, before we sing a worship song, if you would like to come to spontaneous testimony as to something happening in Western or
she's coming off at our service and then she sat down and said, "Donald will say it." Suzanne and I live in Greater Weston, and the guy in my church, Kevin Bale, is part of Churches Together, and he shared about your initiative in our church one morning, and I was very excited about that, and I wanted to start praying for the church and for our street, and so did Sue. So we teamed up, and we endeavour to pray once a week in our road, and I have a direct next door neighbour, bless him, who's very anti-church. I think he might have had an experience negative, he's very negative about churches anyway, and people that go there, so we just steer away from that subject altogether. But Suzanne and I were out praying about 2 or 3 weeks ago maybe, and we saw our neighbour coming down the road shuffling, and he obviously was struggling with this to get along the road, and I was talking to the postman at the time, and I could hear Suzanne say hello to him, "What's happened to your back?" "Oh no, please don't ask to pray, because he's Mr. Angry." And because he's my direct neighbour, Suzanne lives a little bit around the corner to me, she was not aware that he was so angry and anti-church, and I thought, no, this is going to be a disaster, so I was showing a huge lack of faith, I'm afraid. And I could hear Suzanne talking to me, and as I talked to the postie, and I was just thinking, no, don't do it. And I could hear her say, "And how long have you had this problem?" Yes.
but we did pray, didn't we? And we stood in the road. He wouldn't come, he was actually walking across the road, and we were on the pavement, he was on the road. He wouldn't come onto the pavement to us, so we had to stand in the road, not the side of the road, but in the road. And we did pray for quite a while with him, and he was very open. He shared lots about his life with us, didn't he? Lots about this accident he had about 10 years ago and the pain he'd suffered. And he was very open, and we prayed for quite a long time, and it didn't, you know, I'd love to end it with one of those big bows at the end of the story, but it wasn't that. But he did say that the pain had reduced, didn't he? And we did ask him if he'd like us to pray with him again, and he said, yeah, sure, why not? And so we've not managed to catch up with him yet, have we? I've had conversations with him now, and he's very open. His wife started telling me about her. She used to be able to go to the Methodist church with her mum, and a lot about that, and they've been very chatty and very willing to talk about the things of the Lord, actually, in prayer. So it's been amazing that he was very anti-church, and maybe he still is, I don't know, but he's more than happy to accept prayer, and he's more than happy to talk about the things of the Lord. So it's been really exciting, hasn't it? So I would encourage you, and if you can find a good friend like Suzanne to go with, who's bolder than you, who's not going to be saying, no, no, don't do it. And there is power in finding another Christian, isn't there, in your road, that you can do it with, if possible, or even somebody that lives near you, or even just a friend. I think going with somebody else makes a big difference, and it does make you bolder, for sure, so go for it.
Going to sing the worship song in a moment. I just mentioned this book, Neighbours Transform Your Street, which Rebecca has written. It's packed with the most practical advice and stuff from all over Britain as to how to do this, sharing with our neighbourhood and see it transformed. So you can get that from the Christian bookshop, and every minister was given a gift of one of those in our town at lunchtime today. So they're going to encourage church members to sign up and be part of what God is doing in this way. So over now to the musicians. Thank you for leading us in worship.
Elections were on 2 weeks ago, so we specifically were praying that people would, obviously that people would vote, and that we were praying that people would think carefully about their local neighbourhood when they did vote, and you know, so it's very, very specific to what's going on at the time, and I think this week we're going to be, we're probably going to be talking about addictions, you know, praying for addictions of lots of different. Type. So there's always something different to guide you, but obviously when you're praying, God will highlight things to you. And we also suggest that people pray the Lord's Prayer at noon. As, you know, there's a lot of Christians doing that, so we suggest that people do that every single day anyway. And also remember, when you pray for the Lord's Prayer, to pray that Lord's Prayer over your street and for some night, and remember your neighbours at lunchtime as well. So, yeah.
Next question.
Totally up to you. So you can pray any time you want. The only reason we're suggesting Friday is we wanted to kind of get people into a rhythm of prayer, and obviously going into the weekend you see your neighbours a bit more often. So if we make outreach suggestions as well. So obviously, you know, it might be like to take bins out, or to if it's Mother's Day, give some flowers to your neighbours or something, you know, so there's actually opportunity then over the Saturday, Sunday to do that and bump into your neighbours maybe. So. Thank you. Thank
you. Any more questions?
I know, Rebecca, you were emphasising not to be disappointed if you don't see the results because you never know what's going to happen. But I would love to hear what God's shown you.
feel a little bit, I'm not sure I can answer that because it's such a, I don't know if I've got the authority to say that really, but what I would say is that there is a real expectation that God is moving, that there's something different in this season. And everywhere that we go, people are talking about God doing something unprecedented. He's talking about it's really important for unity, which I think you've got a lot of in the UK. And I think that there is something going to happen. We're not sure exactly what it will be, but I think the important thing in this season is to pray. But there's so much, the UK is such a diverse place, that what's happening in Scotland or even a town in Markfield is so different to what's happening in Weston. I can't really answer that. It's such a patchwork. And as I say, I don't think I've got the authority to say that. So I'm sorry if I've not answered your question. So. Any other questions? It's supposed to be £10, but it's through our website it's £7.50. I think some of these are being gifted, aren't they? Is that right?
Yes, every church leader is being given one. And if your church leader hasn't got one, then you can get one that's waiting free at Life Bookshop. So
if you want one from here tonight, I can send you a copy for £5 plus postage. It's normally £7.50 plus postage, but special offer for tonight for those who are not church leaders who want to buy one. So. Absolutely.
Is that really good? Do you find listening to God before you pray?
I think everybody's different in their prayer life, and some of it is to do with your personality, how we pray. We all pray very, very differently. We're all from different traditions. So I don't want to say a one-size-fits-all. I'm the type of person who will pray a slightly prescriptive prayer, and then I find sometimes in my case that God will invade my thoughts. And so one time he said to me, invite your neighbour across the way to an Alpha course. And I absolutely did not want to do it because I was like, it's on my street and what if he doesn't like me? And what actually happened was that I ended up being more afraid of God than I was of my neighbour. So I went over and I said, this is going to sound really strange, but I think God's telling me to invite you to an Alpha course. And he was really happy. He said to me, I'm not going to come, but I want you to know that I'm really grateful that you've asked me, because actually I used to go to church. I was very hurt by church, and it means a lot to me that you cared enough to come and ask me. And if I'd have never done that, I'd have never found that out and stuff. So I think sometimes you have to be obedient. So I think in answer to the question, prayer is a conversation. It's a two-way conversation. We all will hear from God differently. We will all speak to God differently. And I think we all need to do what we're comfortable with and, you know, so.
Could you let us know if there are any helpful scriptures that you use? Because that really touched me and actually I hadn't thought we have done scriptures now and again, but what do you use? Are any helpful scriptures that you use when you're praying?
I actually am someone who uses scripture a lot when I pray, because I actually love the Bible, so I spend a lot of time, and so that's really hard for me to answer, because I use scripture a lot, you know. So I'm reading something that Jesus has done, and I'll then start praying that in a particular situation. So I think the Psalms are always useful, you know, for praying Psalms over. But we have actually got several prayer guides on our website. There's one that was not written by us, but was written by Keep Praying and Bless, or Call to Prayer, when the Olympics was on. And we've adapted that for praying for streets. So, and that's praying specific blessings that are based on scripture. So that's on there, and there's lots of other things. So I can't answer a specific scriptures. I can just say that often when I'm reading, I tend to just pray what I'm coming across at the time. So, yeah.
Do you think that this could go further and introduce prayer back into the school, the Lord's Prayer back into the schools, so that the young generation growing up would come to understand God?
Sorry,
in schools.
Can you raise your hand? I can't see. Right, okay, sorry. Well, interestingly, I actually met with Celia Bowring from CARE on Thursday, and they actually run a group called Pray for Schools. One of the things that we're going to be introducing is a doctor prayer, a school street, to try and get people parallel to praying for streets to actually pray for children in schools. So that's something that we're actually going to be launching quite soon. So I agree with you. I would love to see more prayer happening in schools. I'd like to pray to see more prayer for schools. And actually, I don't know if people have heard about prayer spaces, but 24/7 have prayer spaces. So I think there's things happening, but more needs to be happening praying for schools, definitely. And it's something that we are looking at with working with care in that regard. But does that answer your question? Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. I think we better make the clerk at the last question, though I'd love to stay listening to her answers for another while. It's good that you mentioned the Lord's Prayer. Could we please have the responsive version of the Lord's Prayer up? So, could we pray this together, phrase by phrase? I'll pray the first part, and if you then respond in Western Supermare, asking God to make that true of our town. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven.
In Weston-super-Mare.
Give us today our daily bread.
In Weston-super-Mare.
Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us.
In Weston-super-Mare.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours. Now and forever.
Amen.
That was a very good question to get us on to the Lord's Prayer. Thank you. Can I encourage those of you who know how to text to on the back of your leaflet? Very simple procedure whereby you can text in your details and you can do it tonight. But there's lots of other way, by post or email, that you can do that. Earlier in the day when the leaders were here, one of the themes was, which is linked with a lot of other things, for such a time as this. You remember Esther, Queen Esther, when she was dead scared to do something for her community. The question was, who knows but that you would come for such a time as this? And there's a real sense amongst the leaders, which I hope is from the Lord and is conveyed amongst us, that for such a time as this, Rebecca has visited us, and other initiatives through churches together are coming together to lift us out of the lock and into a future that stretches ahead. When Jesus came to Jerusalem, he said to them, "You did not recognize the time of your visitation." And my prayer is that if God is speaking to us in Weston and giving us a vision to be obedient to, we will recognize his visitation, his voice to us. I don't know where it will lead to, but I believe it will glorify him when we do it. But we need you to respond, otherwise it simply won't. So final worship song, and then Tom is going to commission Rebecca, and Rebecca is going to commission us.
Woohoo! Yes, he deserves a clap. Amen.
Yeah, before our final prayers, may I again say thank you to Tom and the church here at Luckin Castle for their hospitality. And I say thank you to the musicians for leading us in such an uplifting way to worship the Lord. We're very grateful. And see you up the top of the hill on July the 11th. And if you say, I can't climb up that hill, good news, we have the Western 4x4 rescue support team who will be at the foot of the hill with 4x4 vehicles to take young mums with babies and prams, older people who can't, like me, get up the hill. So everybody can be got to the top
or
of the hill.
Or you could just pray the prayer, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength.
Yeah. And if it happens to be wet, but please pray it's not, we'll be in St. Nicholas Church at the foot of the hill. Yeah. Thank you. Over to Tom. Thank you.
Well, it's been a really encouraging evening, hasn't it? It's been great to hear about all that God is doing, and what a great way to come together to pray for our town as well. But I thought it would be brilliant if we pray for Rebecca again. While we were worshipping, I just really felt that Rebecca's brought a message, she's brought us some inspiration, and I felt as well like it was as though she was on Jacob's ladder. And that actually that's a gift, isn't it, to be able to pray and inspire others to pray like Jacob. And so I've got a little ladder, and I've asked her permission, if that's okay, and she might step onto the ladder, because I believe that she's been given a bigger platform as well. And as this message goes around the country, actually it's a really unifying message. It's something that very practical. I love the practical book. I'm an engineer. Prayer is a really practical thing, and I love to be able to do things in practice. So I'm very grateful for that. So I wonder if you might stand on this step ladder, however high you like, and we would pray that you would be given an even greater platform. Perhaps come this way, and we'll stand, we'll pray with you and for you. Perhaps one or two might come and lay hands on Rebecca and pray for her. Thank you, Father. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this mighty warrior, that Lord God, for Rebecca, for all that you have given her and the message that you've given her to bring. And Lord, we thank you that as she goes around the country, actually she is a unifying force for your kingdom. And Lord, we pray that your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven through all that she does. And Lord, we pray that you would give her an even greater platform from which to speak. And that Lord, you would open doors. Father God, we ask this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I wonder, Rebecca, whether you would pray for us. Yes.
Father, I want to thank you for every single person who is here today. And I just pray that everybody who is here will know that their prayers do not go unanswered, that their prayers are always heard by you, that they can come to you, bring anything to you, and you do listen. So Lord, I just pray that as everybody here prays, that this entire area will be set on fire by lots of little fires that all come together into a massive burning flame. And I just declare in your name, Jesus, that the presence of your presence will fall on this place, and that as there's been a physical transformation of this place, there will be a complete transforming, revival, transformation of this area. That there will be, this will be something that we talked about in other towns and cities around the UK and even the world. So Lord, I just thank you for everybody who's here, and I just pray, Lord, that this place will be known as a place where God lives. In the name of Jesus.